Good evening, everyone. Continuing our litany of cheesy songs, that's the New Beats, Bread and Butter from 1964. You know the saying, though, it ain't easy being cheesy. I'm George Knapp. We're talking with Mike Adams, the health ranger, about food, the food conglomerates that force feed us some stuff that is very bad for us. Now, surely if somebody is giving us something that's bad for us, taking out the stuff that's good for us, getting us addicted to food products, making us a much fatter and unhealthier nation, surely our federal regulators would step in and come to our rescue and get this under control, right? We all know the answer to that. When we come back, we'll get into the reasons why federal agencies have failed to act on our behalf with Mike Adams here on Coast to Coast AM. Mike Adams, I had asked you before the break to give us sort of a laundry list, examples of addictive stuff they put in foods, unhealthy stuff, and what the consequences are for Americans.
Okay, yeah, sure. Quite a few there. Monosodium glutamate we talked about, aspartame, right, which is found in diet sodas, something to be very careful about. Another big one that a lot of people aren't aware of is soy protein. Now, I'm concerned about soy protein. And you
I'm sorry to interrupt you. Before we leave that diet soda thing, what's wrong with aspartame?
Oh, my. Aspartame is actually made from a genetically modified strain of bacteria, and it's a chemical sweetener that breaks down in your body into a number of chemicals, one of them being formaldehyde. And formaldehyde is a potent neurotoxin. So aspartame, that's why it's linked to dizziness and blindness and migraine headaches and many other neurological conditions.
So somebody who likes to drink soda, would they be better off drinking a Coke or the Diet Coke? Or I guess you'd say neither one.
Well, I'd say you're better off drinking the regular stuff. And Coke used to be sweetened with cane sugar. That's when it was actually not so bad for you. I mean, there's phosphoric acid in it, which is highly acidic. But, you know, natural sugar would be better than the high fructose corn syrup and certainly better than the aspartame.
Okay. Other examples?
We talked about soy protein, or mentioned that. Soy protein usually comes from genetically modified soybeans, and it is extracted using a toxic chemical solvent known as hexane. And hexane is highly explosive. In fact, one processing facility in the U.S. exploded like a bomb, like a terrorist bomb, but they were just extracting soy protein. It kind of makes you wonder what kind of chemicals come into contact with your food. So I personally advise people to avoid soy protein. That means you got to check out a lot of your protein food bars because soy protein is very cheap. Go with whey protein or brown rice protein. It's much healthier, in my opinion.
Go ahead.
Oh, well, just want to mention one more. Sodium nitrite. Sodium nitrite is used to color processed meats. Hinted at that earlier, but that's related to cancers, and it's well documented. A lot of science on this. You can search everything I'm mentioning here, and you can find it supported through search engines.
I want to talk for a bit about regulators and why they have failed to come to the rescue. And there's a story we posted on our website. I'm sure you read it as well. It's about these voluntary nutrition guidelines that were suggested for kids, for food that is targeted to kids. And big food industries oppose these things, even though they're voluntary guidelines. They're pretty, pretty generic, not hardly revolutionary at all. It sort of is an example of how things work in Washington, is it not?
The fact that they didn't want to adopt these?
Yeah, the fact that they would jump up, use their influence, try to stop these things from being enacted, even though they're voluntary guidelines to begin with.
Yeah, it's pretty clear, you know, the FDA, Food and Drug Administration, the FDA, it's very clear it has betrayed the American people and really sold out to private industry. So the FDA is always siding with big food companies and, of course, big drug companies and big vaccine companies, but never really or rarely making any kind of decision that protects the public. And a great example of this just came up on the radar. This is breaking news, actually. The FDA recently announced that it has a plan in place that would virtually wipe out all nutritional supplements that have been formulated since 1994. So So we're looking at a possible an end to the dietary supplements and superfoods and nutritional supplements industry in America in the next few months if we don't take a stand against this. And I've been on the phone with industry leaders and attorneys, and there is an effort underway now to really fight this FDA, this new regulatory effort, and protect the freedom to access nutritional supplements in America.
You mean like vitamins, vitamin C, vitamin E, what, vitamins?
Yes, vitamins. The FDA is warning that vitamins could be taken off the market if they are packaged in different serving sizes. For example, perhaps vitamin C as 100 milligrams used to be legal, but if you try to sell it in 500 milligrams or 1,000 milligrams, you would now have to seek a new approval from the FDA through this NDI, a new dietary ingredient application. And they're going to require every company in America who makes vitamins and nutrients to apply for every ingredient in every product that they sell, and they have to do this or take their products off the market.
My gosh. So help me understand who's behind that. Let me guess. go ahead and tell me why the FDA took this action.
Well, it's very clear. Yeah, the FDA, I believe, wants people to not have access to things that keep them alive and keep them healthy. The FDA wants everybody to run to the pharmaceutical companies so that the drug companies make all the money. And the drug companies, remember, they don't really cure any diseases. They don't really prevent disease. They don't help you be healthy. All they do is they sort of manage your sickness. That's why when you're on diabetes drugs, you're never cured of diabetes. And you have to keep taking the drugs. If you stop taking the drugs, then all the symptoms come back. That tells you that the drugs aren't really helping you. They're just sort of getting you along. And if you take away the nutritional products in America, which has happened across many products in the EU, in Europe today, they've banned hundreds of products just in the last few months. Now the FDA is trying to do the same thing in America. We could end up in a situation here before the end of this year where health food stores are put out of business across the country. I mean, we could be looking at tens of billions of dollars of losses to the economy, hundreds of thousands of jobs, and forcing everybody to run into Obama's healthcare system to seek treatment because they can't buy vitamins and nutrients anymore.
Outrageous. That's outrageous. Now, what do people do to stop that? What is it? Just as simple as calling your congressman or sending an email? What do people need to do to put the kibosh on that right now?
Well, there's going to be a call-in day of September 8th. This is being organized across the industry. The Alliance for Natural Health, ANH-USA.org, is a nonprofit that we are working with to help organize this. We're launching a website, a rally point. I'm not going to mention that here, but we'll have it announced at naturalnews.com. We're going to have petitions. We're going to have interviews with industry leaders. We are going to put the word out to chiropractors and herbalists and health food stores all across the country to get people to rally to fight this FDA regulation. And I think we'll be successful if we can raise enough awareness.
You know, I haven't looked at the FDA as much as I've looked at USDA. And I know that USDA, the whole Department of Agriculture, is infiltrated, controlled by people who, it's like a revolving door, like so many government agencies. They're in the beef industry one day, they're regulating the beef industry the next day, and so on. Many examples of that is the FDA pretty much the same way. Somebody works for the drug companies, and now they're working for the FDA.
Yeah, it's a revolving door, as they say, and you nailed it. And the USDA recently made a landmark decision that is very disturbing. The Scotts Miracle-Gro company applied to the USDA for approval of a genetically modified lawn seed so that consumers could plant GMO grass on their front lawns and then spray their lawns with Roundup herbicide. And the USDA, instead of approving it or rejecting it, the USDA said, get this, they said, we cannot regulate this GMO at all. We don't even have the power to regulate it. Therefore, you can just sell it without our approval. So as of right now, the Scotts Miracle-Gro company is working on commercializing this seed. And in early 2012, or as early as the spring of 2012, we could see genetically modified front lawns in your neighborhoods, in your schools, in your playgrounds, where they're spraying these lawns with Roundup herbicides all around your neighborhood. I mean, that's what's coming. It's that crazy.
And Roundup, I have done some reading on that subject, pretty controversial stuff to spray on your yard or your plants, right?
Yeah, it's called glyphosate. That's the chemical name. Very, very controversial. It kills every normal plant that it comes into contact with, and it persists in the soil for many, many years. So you can't grow food in that soil, and you may need to grow food pretty soon if we have an economic situation, a collapse or a debt collapse or a devaluation of the dollar. You may need to be growing some food, and you don't want to ruin your soil in your own lawn. You might need some tomatoes out of there pretty soon.
Are you familiar with this story about walnuts? I'm thinking I read this story correctly, that walnuts, the walnut industry, had made some claims about the health benefits of some of the things you find in walnuts, and the FDA came down on them saying, well, if you're going to make those kind of claims, looks like we're going to have to declare walnuts a drug.
Yes. Yes, that I think the company you're referring to is Blue Diamond, and that was one case of many where the FDA goes to these companies and says, because you are making a truthful and scientifically valid health claim, that therefore magically converts your nuts into drugs. And therefore, it's an unapproved drug, and we're going to threaten you with imprisonment or confiscation of all of your products. The FDA has done this with many companies. They did it with a cherry manufacturer that was selling cherry supplements and cherry bars. And that company was linking to government-funded scientific studies that talked about how cherries can reduce arthritis inflammation and eliminate gout. I mean, cherries are a cure for gout. And the FDA said, well, I'm sorry, in that case, it was actually the FTC, the Federal Trade Commission. And they said, you merely linking to a government study, it causes you to commit fraud in the marketing of these cherries as a drug. And they forced that company to sign a so-called consent decree in which the company must admit to committing crimes of fraudulently marketing unapproved drugs. And I have that document so I'm not making this up. I actually have that document, and it's documented on our website as well.
You know, you mentioned the examples of all this unhealthy stuff that we eat, that government seems to clear the path for us to eat this stuff. Industries, these giant agribiz companies, are only too happy to get us addicted to it. The fattening of America as a result, all the diseases that we suffer from, all of that seems to play from the food industry, seems to play right into the hands of the drug industry. It's like, I don't know if it's a conspiracy at the corporate level between those two giants, but it sure seems like it. So we eat this bad stuff, we get sick, we have problems for our whole lives, and there's the drug industry there to give us pills for it that never cures us.
Yeah, you've nailed it. You've nailed it on the head. I like to describe it as walking through a Walgreens store. There's nothing against Walgreens in particular, but if you look at how the store is laid out, at the front of the store, you have all the processed packaged food products and the high fructose corn syrup and the aspartame, the diet sodas. You even have infant formula products that are made with 42% corn syrup solids, in case you want to feed your baby a bunch of sugar. But these kinds of foods, I believe, promote degenerative disease. I mean, the evidence is quite clear. And then in the back of the store, they have the solutions, the pharmaceuticals and the vaccines. But you got to walk through all the junk foods and the processed foods to get to the drugs that are marketed to you as a cure for the very diseases that the foods promoted in you in the first place. So, yeah, they do operate hand in hand. I don't know if it's a conspiracy from the top down. I think they're just both trying to make a lot of money selling products that hurt a lot of people.
It doesn't seem like USDA, FDA, FTC policies change all that much based on who's in the White House, what party is in power. It seems like those bureaucracies go on regardless of the policy of the country at a given time.
Well, you're very observant. In fact, health freedom attorney Jonathan Emord speaks to this very issue. He's written a book called The Rise of Tyranny that talks about how Congress has delegated regulatory power to these various government agencies, such as the FDA, the USDA, and so on. These agencies are led by unelected bureaucrats, so they answer to no one. And they essentially write their own laws, which are just called regulations, and those regulations can't be voted on by anybody. And Congress can't even intervene unless they make a special effort. So this is how the FDA can actually ban most vitamins and minerals and nutritional supplements in the country if they choose to do so. And Congress can't really do anything about it the way things are set up right now. So we've got to get to a point in this country where we take back the tyranny from these runaway rogue regulatory agencies and put it back into the hands of the people through Congress, where there is some accountability, of course, a lot of corruption, but at least you can vote them out and vote somebody new back into office.
One of our listeners had sent me an idea, an equivalent, an Earth Day equivalent. We have Earth Day to sort of highlight the issues and concerns about the environment, whether or not we can have something like that to help farmers, organic farmers, honest farmers, food producers, honest food distributors, something like that.
It's a great idea. I would just encourage people to make that every day, you know, just in terms of where you spend your food dollars, the more you can spend with local farmers, the more help you're going to be able to, you know, the more difference you're going to make out there. It's when you go to the grocery store and you shop for the processed foods, you support those practices. When you shop for the lowest price hamburger, you support factory farmed hormone injected beef. You know, you just got to be aware of where you're spending your dollars because you are impacting everything upstream from that point of purchase.
So much of it just depends on paying attention, reading labels. Hopefully the labels are accurate, but paying attention to what you're putting on the table for your family to eat.
Yeah, absolutely. It's really just being aware. Reading labels is absolutely crucial, and I encourage people to avoid buying any products that have ingredients that you can't pronounce. Now, we did a piece on fake blueberry bits, a lot of the so-called blueberry cereals and blueberry breads. Well, the blueberries aren't blueberries. They're made out of propylene glycol and FD&C red number 2 and blue number 40 artificial colors combined with hydrogenated oils and corn syrup solids. I mean, that is what a blueberry is in the food supply today. It's out of control, you know?
I saw that article. In fact, I think we posted on the Coast to Coast website a couple of weeks ago when it came out. I just thought that's just about as sneaky as it gets. Well, but unfortunately, it's not just as sneaky as it gets.
No, and the courts actually support some of this. What came out of that article, by the way, was a lawsuit against General Mills because they sell a cereal product called Total Blueberry Pomegranate Cereal. And that cereal contains absolutely no blueberries and no pomegranates. But that's the name of the cereal. And a law firm contacted us for some information about that. And they attempted to file a class action lawsuit, which I believe, as of right now, has been thrown out because the court said that on the cereal box, in the fine print, it says, quote, naturally and artificially flavored. Therefore, that excuses what I consider to be a very deceitful name of a product.
We're going to take a break in a second here. When you hear the music, that means we're heading to the break. But I wanted to ask you quickly, do these companies come after you? You put this stuff online, you try to educate the American public about what to eat and what not to eat. Do the big guys come after you?
They've threatened to, but then I mentioned the discovery phase of lawsuits where we get to look through their paperwork and see what's real, and they don't like that. They usually agree to go away.
Well, that's a good that works in all sorts of journalism. I can assure you, because the threats of lawsuits pop up for anyone who does any kind of reporting. We're talking with Mike Adams, the health ranger, and a couple of questions that I want to get into after the break. I want to talk about raw milk. It's a topic we haven't touched on. It's illegal. It's illegal to have raw milk. It's portrayed as something that's dangerous. Whereas a lot of people think it's better for you than the milk you get in the store, the pasteurized, homogenized stuff. We'll get into that. We're opening up the phone lines as well. Stay with us here on Coast to Coast AM. Here's one of the stories I was talking to Mike Adams about. The food and advertising industries have launched a multi-pronged campaign to squash government efforts to create voluntary nutritional guidelines for foods that are marketed to children. They call themselves the Sensible Food Policy Coalition. Nice name, huh? The nation's biggest food makers, fast food chains, and media companies, including Viacom and Time Warner, are trying to derail these standards that were proposed by four federal agencies, if you can believe that. And, of course, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is adding its lobbying muscle to this effort. These guidelines are designed to encourage food makers to reduce salt, to reduce added sugars and fats in foods and drinks that are targeted to children. Now, the standards would be voluntary. Companies would not be required to meet them. The government would have no way to enforce them. But, of course, the food and beverage industry spends about $2 billion a year marketing directly to children, so I can tell you how that little battle is going to end up. Coming back, we'll open up the phone lines with your questions for my guest, Mike Adams. Stay with us here on Coast to Coast AM. My guest is Mike Adams, the Food Ranger. We have links on the Coast to Coast website to all of his information. There's a lot of stuff to read and digest, folks. We're going to ask one more question before we go to the phones, and that deals with raw milk. Mike, help me understand why raw milk is illegal.
Well, it's just astonishing, first of all, that it is illegal, but there's a raw milk farmer in Springfield, Missouri, who's being prosecuted, and people all over the country are being prosecuted and even stalked by police for selling raw milk. Now, the FDA says it's because it's unsafe, because it has living microorganisms in it. In the FDA's mind, the only safe food is dead food. But we say, in the holistic nutrition industry, we say dead food leads to dead people. And live foods are actually some of the healthiest foods that you can eat. So we want to legalize raw milk. And just the idea that we even have to discuss this is crazy, because America was built on raw milk. And, the pioneers drank raw milk. That's what kept them alive. The fact that it's illegal today is just outrageous. And it shows you how much tyranny has been applied to the food industry by our own government.
And again, is that because that would keep us healthier? We'd need less drugs, fewer other stuff? Is that that's what the conspiracy involves here?
Well, I think the processed milk industry feels threatened by raw milk because, the word about raw milk is spreading, and it is healthier for you. It actually populates your intestinal flora with healthy, friendly bacteria so that you're more resistant to other foodborne diseases. You know, you hear about people that are killed by E. coli and food outbreaks. Well, those are typically people who are on a lot of antibiotics, so they don't have healthy flora in their gut, and that makes them more susceptible. Raw milk can repopulate that and help you resist other foodborne illness.
Let's take a couple of questions from our listeners. First-time caller, Patrick in Helena, Montana. Hi, Patrick. How you doing?
Good, George. Thank you for taking my call. Hello, Mike.
Hi, Patrick.
About 6 months ago, I started juicing, and I've lost about 50 pounds. I only juice organic fruits and vegetables. It's been a great benefit for me, in addition to cutting back on portion sizes and walking. My question is, since the Fukushima accident in March, I've had concerns about particularly the food supply, being that I juice a lot of like kale and chard and spinach, things that grow outside for the most part. What's your opinion on it? Do you believe our food supply has been contaminated to a level that would be concerning?
I believe in North America, the food supply is perfectly safe in terms of radiation fallout. There is some fallout, of course, on the West Coast and Oregon and Washington, but it's really minuscule, I think, compared to the health benefits that you get from doing the juicing that you've described. So I wouldn't let radiation stop me from juicing at all. Good question, though.
Thanks, Patrick. Wildcard line, George in California. Hi, George.
Thanks for taking my call. It's a great, important program, gentlemen. Thank you very much. My question is, how do I obtain the paperwork to start a petition where I'm at? Personally, I would like to do this because I realize the importance of getting this done, and more signatures, the better.
You're referring to the petition to keep nutritional supplements legal?
Yes.
Yeah, that effort is just getting underway. I would tune in to the nonprofit Alliance for Natural Health, and that's anh-usa.org. And you can also follow the news on our website, naturalnews.com. We'll be reporting on this and donating money to the effort and really just working hard in the months ahead. And I apologize that it's not organized yet. I mean, this is really breaking news. Nothing is really underway at the moment, but it's coming soon.
Okay, I also realized with Monsanto, who I personally spent time on the phone with just last week, because of the fact that these chemtrails, I believe they're making the chemicals that are being used. Now, I know that's a little off topic, but, with the show last night about the fluoride in the water that, that the farmers are using or being forced to use, the water, even the organic plants and vegetables, it's very disturbing what Monsanto is doing to the American public.
Well, I've not heard any indication that Monsanto's manufacturing chemicals using chemtrails. That's new information to me, so I can't really comment on that. But it's
Thanks.
Something to investigate.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. East of the Rockies, Elise in Manhattan. Hi, Elise.
Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call, George. I'm a huge fan of you. And Mike Adams, you are a godsend. I check into Natural News daily. I love your articles. Witty, smart, intelligent. It's amazing. My question to you guys is, or to Mike, rather, what type of water is the safest, also considering the Fukushima fallout? Is the most pure form of water would be like distilled or reverse osmosis? Like, what's your opinion on filtered water for the healthiest body you can get?
Well, I think the most practical system today is really a reverse osmosis system. A whole house filter that uses RO is good in most areas, unless you're in an area that has a lot of water restrictions, because, of course, that technology uses a lot of water. Distillation uses a lot of energy and electricity, so it has other environmental impacts. The very best water you can get is local spring water. You can search on Google and you can find where there are springs in your areas and go out there and grab some of your own in glass bottles and drink that. That's the best you'll ever find.
Thank you, Elise. Appreciate it. You know, a lot of our listeners, Mike, are interested in hemp. And I know, looking at the list of things that you recommend, is that hemp does have health benefits. I know there are a lot of other benefits that people talk about as well. But health-wise, what does that do?
Well, hemp is just a miracle crop. I can't believe it's still illegal in this country. We need to re-legalize it for our farmers and our economy. Hemp can produce hemp seeds, which are very high in omega-3s, and they're an ingredient in many superfoods that are out there on the market today. Hemp can also produce hemp oils, which are used in skin care products, hair and nails, you know, those kind of personal care products, a really great oil. And, of course, you can make paper out of it. You can make car bumpers out of hemp fiber, too. It's just amazing. We've got to re-legalize this in America. I mean, America was founded on hemp and raw milk and all these things that have been outlawed. We've got to bring it back.
West of the Rockies, Danny in California. Hi, Danny.
Well, hi, George. Hi, Mike.
Hello.
I've got three quick questions. I've heard that high fructose corn syrup is America's fat pill. I was wondering if you would agree with that, Mike.
Well, that's certainly a description that would fit some of the evidence. I've heard it described as liquid Satan also. It has a lot of nicknames. Certainly not something I would recommend ingesting in really any quantity at all.
Maybe that's why I'm over 300 pounds now. I got to do something about that. Second question, is there really any difference between milk labeled not from cows not treated with that growth hormone, RBST, or whatever it is?
Yeah, I think there is a difference. There is a nutritional difference in terms of the product that you get. There's also a difference in the way the animals are treated. So there's an ethical consideration as well as a nutritional consideration. And by the way, the government tried to make it illegal for companies to put that on the label that says this milk comes from cows not treated with hormones. So they didn't want you to know.
And why is that? Because it'd be a competitive disadvantage or something?
Well, yeah, exactly. They got lobbying pressure from the companies that make the growth hormones to outlaw honest labeling. Same thing with GMOs today. They don't want you to have honest labeling because they don't want consumers to know that they're eating GMOs. They know consumers would stop buying those products if it had a label.
And my third question, if it's true that what I heard, that around 80% of the food in the stores now is genetically modified in one degree to one degree or the other, and that would and the genetically altered food causes a higher rate of cancer. Do you think there's any truth to that?
Well, there are a lot of indications that genetically modified foods have negative health effects, but many of them are related to infertility, not necessarily cancer, although that's one of the concerns in animal studies. But you know, clearly, if we are to survive as a nation and not collapse under healthcare costs, we've got to have honest food labels and get the poisons out of our food supply. And I would consider GMOs to be one of those poisons that's got to go.
Danny, thanks for the questions. Tell me this, Mike, what about restaurants? You go out to a restaurant, it just seems like you're even more at the mercy of unknown elements when you order a meal and you don't know where it came from or what you're getting.
You're exactly right. A lot of that food is GMO. Very little of it is organic. You really have to ask questions at restaurants, and you are at the mercy. There are no real labeling laws about what goes into the foods. I can't even eat at restaurants most of the time because I'm sensitive to MSG, and they put MSG in just about everything at family diners and restaurant chains. They're like, look at the ingredients at Kentucky Fried Chicken or KFC. Just look at it. You'll see MSG on about half their menu items. It's incredible.
I'll bet there aren't 5% of people who look at a label of KFC, something they buy there, or McDonald's or something like that.
Yeah, because it's a pretty scary label to look at these fast food chains and see what they put in them. I mean, I don't want to mention a bunch of names, but there are some products out there sold in fast food restaurants that use industrial ingredients like chemicals that make up silly putty. You can find those in some products that whose names I won't mention.
Well, it's also, you see them, it's like they go out of their way to make the most unhealthy, highest calorie, highest fat content sandwiches and meals that they can possibly imagine. It's like a bunch of guys sitting around in a room thinking, how can we beat the double secret, double Whopper, that I forget what that KFC thing is called, with the two chicken breasts and cheese and sauce. And it's like they just try to outdo themselves.
Yeah, I don't know. It's great marketing. You know, it's kind of sensational. And a lot of the population really isn't paying attention to what they eat. So it sells that product to them. But, you know, sadly, the after effect is that we are suffering from just chronic rates of diabetes and obesity. And, you know, one of your previous callers mentioned that he was challenged with a weight issue. I just want to encourage him that you can turn that around. You know, it's never too late. You can start being healthier today by changing what you eat today. And if you get off the fried foods and the processed foods and the packaged junk and get on to real nutrition, you can turn your life around no matter what age you're at and no matter what disease you've been diagnosed with. Believe me, the human body wants to heal. You just have to give it the resources to heal itself.
First-time caller Bill in Green Bay. Hi, Bill.
Hi there.
What's on your mind?
How are you doing tonight?
Okay.
Well, I got a couple questions about aspartame. Now, my mom has mild Parkinson's, and she's drank Diet Coke for quite a few years. And just wondering if there's any link there. And also, she has, like, sleep apnea. She has trouble falling asleep. I know you mentioned that it affects the brain, the aspartame, and wondering if it would have any effect on that as well.
Well, I think you're right to suspect a link, but of course, I'm not a doctor. I'm a journalist, and so I don't want to. There are many, many causes of these conditions. However, anyone suffering from a neurological disorder, I would absolutely encourage them to eliminate all aspartame from their diet completely. It could be something that makes it worse, or it could potentially be the main cause of it. So you're right to be suspicious. Good question.
Bill, is that it?
Yeah.
I think Bill, okay. Thank you. Thanks for the call. Ken in Nashville on the wild card line. Hi, Ken. How you doing?
Hey, George, take my call. I want to ask about Splenda. What about that? Being that it is a fake sugar.
Yeah,
I'll take my call off the air.
Okay,
thanks.
Splenda. I had a hard time hearing that there. Yeah, well, Splenda is made from sucralose. Sucralose is the more generic name. This is a chemical related to sugar that contains actually a chlorine atom in it, or a chlorine molecule, I'm sorry, as part of the molecular structure. So personally, I wouldn't recommend it. I don't think it's as bad as aspartame, but I wouldn't touch any kind of chemical sweetener. I would recommend stevia, which is an herbal sweetener, or you can use various low glycemic sweeteners such as coconut sugar or palm sugar. They're both mineral-rich and low glycemic.
And, Ken, I can tell you that stevia is pretty easy to grow. We grow it here, and if you can grow it here in Las Vegas, you can grow it anywhere. Thanks for the call. Try to get one more in. Jan in Brooklyn, your question.
Hi. I think people should try to check their foods to see the energy. Just look at it and see which looks better, and I'm horrified how now with apricots and tangerines, they're putting this dye on it, and the energy is like terrible, terrible, terrible. And also with vitamins, I totally agree with you, you know, what FDA should keep away. But I also find like one out of three vitamins test better the same brand. There should be more quality control. I wish you would get in touch, you know, tell the vitamin companies. I wish they would more quality control with their vitamins.
Well, that's an interesting issue, Jan. Mike, do you know about quality control issues with vitamins? I guess probably like everything else, some are better than others.
Yeah, there are good manufacturing practices or GMP certifications at vitamin companies, but I would point your attention to quality control problems in the pharmaceutical industry, too. You know, Johnson & Johnson has had over a dozen recalls this year alone, and you find pharmaceuticals that have flecks of metal shavings and paint and all kinds of things in them because they're made in India and China and Puerto Rico. A lot of the drugs sold in America are not made in America, and they just have terrible quality control. So, you know, there's a quality issue everywhere, but I would much rather take supplements than pharmaceuticals, for my own health issues.
There's also the issue of adverse reactions. I plan to get into this in the next hour with James Colquhoun, but, the number of people who die of adverse reactions to pharmaceutical drugs is huge compared to the number of people who have health problems because they take vitamin supplements.
Oh, yeah, it's huge. I mean, anywhere from 100,000 to over 200,000 people, Americans, die each year from taking FDA-approved pharmaceuticals as directed. And that's admitted by the medical industry itself. In terms of people dying from supplements, it's a very low number, if any, because sometimes if one supplement causes a handful of deaths, the FDA immediately takes action to ban it, as they should if it's that dangerous. But supplements are extremely safe, they're very effective, and they have very few side effects. We've got to keep free access to those supplements available. Part of our freedom here in America.
We got about a minute left. Why don't you do a little plug for your website and what kind of things people would find there?
Oh, well, I thank you. I appreciate the opportunity. Naturalnews.com. We have 10 to 12 articles every day about natural cures, about the dangers of pharmaceuticals. We cover GMOs. We have a writing and research staff, and we are 100% committed to educating you about the truth of what's going on with your food, with pharmaceuticals, and even things like sustainable living and health, freedom, liberty, those issues. That's what we cover at Natural News.
You have a foundation as well?
Yeah, we have a nonprofit consumer wellness center. We donate money every year all around the world to programs that help expectant mothers improve their nutrition. We believe that healthy moms make healthy babies. And we've done that now for 3 years, and it's going on the fourth year. And we love to see healthy, expectant mothers all over the world taking advantage of nutrition.
Mike Adams, thanks, the Health Ranger. Thanks very much for all the information you provided tonight. Please keep me in the loop on that vitamin thing, because we're going to have to revisit that if that effort continues.
I will, George, and thank you for having me on. It's been a real honor to be your guest tonight, and I had a great time. Thank you, George.
Thank you as well. And coming up next, James Colquhoun. He's a documentary producer looking at some of these same issues on sort of a macro scale. Stay with us, everyone. Much more to come here on Coast to Coast AM.